and the Oracle of Communication. And the Oracle of Communication, a better word for that oracle might be the Oracle of Communing. Because the whole dynamic around communication is about communing. The color is blue. It's the color of thought. It has a lot more to do with thought process, thinking process, than it does speaking process. The symbol is the spider and the web. And what that's about is the way we use our minds and our faculty of communication, we get tangled up in our own web. We use our minds basically in an effort to try to understand. And we use it in an effort to try to understand out here. Okay. Meg just had a relationship, and I'll bet there was some effort to understand.
You betcha.
Okay. And as is usual in that effort to understand, we end up in a fairly futile experience, because we're so different. All of us are so different. We cannot possibly understand one another. And the thing that happens is that person that you think you understand and you think understands you, that's the one where you really get in trouble, because you make this assumption that you're talking about the same thing because you're using the same words. Sometimes you're using the same pictures. And then when you get right down to it, we're talking about the same space, we're talking about the same activities, we're talking about all of that in two entirely different universes. In the prayer, it says, "Hallowed be thy name." And therein is the appropriate instruction for this level. The name of God is sound. Now, if you think a word, any word, just think a word, inwardly you will hear a sound. Okay. That is a very basic way that we utilize, that we draw from the creative essence, which is sound. In the beginning there was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Scientifically, when we look at reality, when we go down below the subatomic level, there's something there. And what they can measure, the most subtle, measurable essence is sound. Scientifically, we know that sound's the basis. And when you think a thought, what you're literally doing is you are drawing from that essence, which is God, and putting it into a form. It is a powerful creative act. Therefore, hallowed be thy name. For creators in training, the first thing you need to know is that name with which you form that thought and form that word is a holy thing. So use it very carefully. And if you go back into the most powerful traditions, you go back into the Hebrew tradition, they got this whole thing about words that is just... It sounds real obsessive. there's certain words you don't ever say. And when you say something, you're held responsible for it. In a way that in our society sounds unreasonable and really insane. But if you go into those traditions and you look at what they say about the word, if you just go into the Bible and look at all the things that revolve around word, you'll find an amazing amount of power and importance given to the spoken word. Okay. According to the mystical teachings, the way you work with hallowed be thy name is twofold. One is you chant a tone, a mantra, that is designed to resonate to essence. Then you listen, attune to that essence, and merge to become one with it. And this is a very valid instruction for communication, because it's about communing with spirit. And the only way that we're ever going to understand one another, or we're ever going to have that communion with one another, is if we first have the communion with spirit. And Ronnie and I could sit down and we could talk until our brains hurt and we were hoarse, and we still would not understand each other. We still wouldn't have that experience of communion, except in the place where we both went, "Psh, I'm tired. Let's go have a brownie," right? And we would be in communion over that brownie, because we would just both be in an agreement with, wow, this is really a lot more enjoyable than this experience we've just been having of trying to understand one another. And there would be an agreement there. Okay. Another understanding of this web and the spider is the symbol of creation, the creator. And the symbol of the web is, use your thoughts in a manner of creating what you want to attract. That's what the spider does with the web. They create this, which apparently bug vision, if I can use that terminology, bug vision, the spider web is quite beautiful and actually alluring. To us it looks kind of gray, but if you appreciate design, you look at that and go, you know, that's pretty cool. Yeah. And spiders are certainly the most elemental being to create pattern in that way. Bees create pattern in their hives, but it's that the pattern there that is really important, which is create the pattern that's going to attract that which you want. And the way the web is and the way this thing works is, as you give, so shall you receive. So create the thoughts that are of that which you want to attract. And generally when we do that, we're thinking of stuff. Okay? All right, I'm going to create what I want to attract, and I'm thinking of stuff. I want it to look like this, I want it to be like this, you know, want, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. First of all, that's real hard, because we change. By the time you get it, it's like, God, I wanted this? Ew. I don't want it anymore. Well, you got it. You traded in on what you do want. Well, it's out of style. Yeah, well. To create effectively, we go back to this teaching which says, hallowed be thy name. Part of the instruction there is, don't get hung up on the form. Go for the essence. Okay. Last night in our class, we were talking about wanting a vehicle and how the vehicle is a symbol of freedom. Okay. But in truth, it's really a lousy limited form of freedom. To be able to move your body from place to place is not really a great form of freedom. What is a great form of freedom is to be fully present in who you are. Right? And when you do that, you get to be in communion with everything. And then you're saying, well, when I'm myself, that doesn't always happen. Well, that's you being yourself in your personality. I'm talking about being yourself in your light. And then if they don't like that, you're not reacting to the personality that doesn't like that. You're seeing how that light is actually benefiting them. And they're just reacting because they weren't ready to be benefited. Common union. Communication is an act of common union. If you look at your communications, I'm in the process of writing a book. One of the traps that I get into in writing the book is thinking about what do they want to hear, right? Or what is, yeah, what'll sell, right? That's just a really big mistake, because as a person, what I have to share here that is unique and special is myself. So it's not about what do they want to hear, it's what do I want to share. Now, this is a spiritual book. You really shouldn't, you know, make mention of, you know, when you were a drug dealer. I mean, people don't want to hear that from somebody who's supposed to be spiritual. Well, we're talking about how the mind works, right? I've heard that from somewhere. Right?
I wonder where.
Yeah. Well, but then the point comes, it comes back to the point of, what do I want to share? I want to share this experience that is my experience of becoming who I am. Not what they want to hear. Because if I tell them what I think they want to hear, then I'm going to attract whoever that is that I happen to tap into. But guess what? I'm not going to attract the one who wants to know me, because I didn't share me. In fact, I'll probably attract a bunch of people who want to hear what they want to hear. And that's a nightmare. And I'm not good at that anyway. So it's about coming into an expression of herself, which is spirit. The instruction on this level is really about attuning to spirit. Okay. The polarities, well, yeah, the polarities here, the cross part, is listening and speaking. And as we work with this, you'll find that we've just now moved from the heart up into the beginning of the higher levels. That there's a division between this lower self and this conscious self. And the conscious self is moving into more subtle frequencies. And you'll find that just the attunements of listening and speaking are really powerful. Now, speaking is not really about words. And how you can understand speaking in a better way than speaking is, if you ever have observed other people and watched how their energy and their light fluctuates according to what they're thinking. Okay? I'm going to think of something that really makes me happy. Okay? I'm going to think of something that doesn't necessarily make me happy. Okay? Yeah. Okay. And you can just see the energy just go, right? I'm speaking. I'm not saying anything, but energetically I'm speaking. Hallowed be thy name. I'm listening. That's about being open to listen, to hear. Speaking is about how you focus your mind more so than what comes out of your mouth. And what comes out of your mouth is important too, especially if it's in the presence of others, because now you got possibly, you know, seven people going, oh, what'd you say that for? It's like, I'd like to just forget that I said it. Yeah, but what'd you say it for?
What'd you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I want you to explain to me.
Right. And so if you're not careful there, what you say can hold you in the past, actually for a really long time. It doesn't necessarily hold you in the past, but it certainly is some sticky area that can pull you back if you haven't cut loose of it yourself. So being careful what you say is important, but it's how we focus our minds. Listening is about how we focus our minds also, because you can listen for the fault. I mean, if you look at how a lawyer in the courtroom listens, he's listening for one thing, but if then the way that you listen to that person that you really want to be your lover, but there's not an understanding there, there's a place where, or that person who might give you what you want to hear that they are. All right? There's a lot of prejudice that happens in the hearing. And the point is to let all of that go. Listen to God. Listen to Spirit. And the teaching in the Bible is let your communication be yes or no. Anything more than this is not of the Lord.
Yeah, but
is exactly not of the Lord. Yeah, but the yeah is, the but isn't. Yeah. Yeah. So it's when you're talking about that, it says yay yay or nay nay. The yay yay is that place inside where your spirit just brightens and says, yeah, I'm up for this experience. Or it dims and says, no, I'm not up for this experience. Well, the desire for union, communion, oneness, oftentimes has us agreeing to things that is not really in alignment with what we want. And when we do that, what we do is we create union with people that are not in union with us. We create an illusion of union. In other words, if we all agree to go to this restaurant that I hate and I go, right? Are we really all one here? No, because I really hate it.
But what if you agreed to go?
Well, that's what we're talking about here. If you agreed to go, now, you can agree to go for two reasons. One is just because you want to be part of the group. The other is where, honestly, the food is not that important. You just really do want, your preference is to be part of that group. Right? There's a difference between having a true preference to be with that group to then doing it just because, doing it for the reason of you don't want to be alone. Because there's this faculty of letting go, and what we agree to, sometimes we have to say no and let go of that whole thing so that some other people can come forward to fill that space. It's when you can't fill a full cup. And that's really true when we're working with all these levels. It's all about really letting go. It's all about that. The part that brings you into the ground is communication. That's sort of the unity of listening and speaking. It's also the desire level. In other words, we want that experience of unity. And most of our communication in this world is a futile effort in trying to set up an understanding with somebody in an effort to fulfill some experience of belonging, of union. And it doesn't work. Now, we might have a conversation where we really share in spirit, and that happens. But when that happens, it's not because there's an agenda of coming to an agreement. The agreement isn't about the stuff. You know how when you get into that experience of like where you think you're coming close to somebody, and all of a sudden it's like, eh. It's like, how did that happen? And the reason that happened is because the agenda was there to create an understanding, a meeting of the minds. Minds do not meet. Spirits do. And you can't merge with somebody else's spirit until you've merged with your own. And when we're one with our own spirit, we're one with everybody's spirit. And what they do is just what they do. It doesn't have anything to do with our experience of them in a it doesn't affect our satisfaction. It doesn't affect our experience with regard to what we really want, which is that experience of union. And the ascendant, the top of the cross, is joy. And joy is the result of true union. But joy transcends understanding. If you ever have this experience of where you think something and you feel happy, it's happiness, it's not joy. Joy is not a mind thing. And I think it's wonderful that it comes in here on this level, which is totally about the mind. Listening, speaking, communicating, joy. It comes in around the spirit. It comes in in an experience of oneness, which only happens in spirit. And joy is really a spiritual gift. You can make yourself happy, but you cannot make yourself joyous. You can create an illusion of happiness. You can move into a false happiness. You cannot move into a false joy. Most of what we would describe as joy is really happiness, which is an emotional thing. Joy is that thing that just melts everything. Yes, dear?
Those experiences do happen in different moments of our life, though, without us actually... it is like a natural process of communing or being like in a partnership when something really matches and there's just this pure delight,
right,
or birthing.
If you look at the pictures of people at the end of World War II, okay, there's a lot of happiness and there is a certain amount of real blissful joy there, because something that transcends understanding has happened there, and there is an experience of unity. Now the mind created that opportunity because this big problem is gone, and now what the person has done is moved into unlimited potential. It's like the war is over, anything is possible, right? We've done, and real joy, if you've seen those pictures, I'm sure you have, a big part of what you're seeing there is real joy. But it's the place where the illusion that the war being over creates unlimited possibility, there's letting go. There's nothing to understand. The goal is completed. It can happen right after, joy can happen right after really good sex. Yeah.
Right when the baby comes.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's because it's in that moment that there's like no agenda whatsoever, and we just move into spirit. Okay. It usually doesn't last very long, because the mind doesn't take very long to go, okay, what's next? Right? Like, I need an omelet or a cigarette or, you know, something. And I don't know.
So if I drive by your house and he's cooking an omelet,
you'll know.
Yeah. Okay. It's been a long time since I've had an omelet.
Right. He doesn't eat eggs.
I do sometimes.
Yeah.
Not very often. Okay.
Yeah.
None of your business. All right. So any questions that are not relative to our sex life?
What are these crystals for?
Barbara, why don't you say what these are for? Briefly.
Last week we talked about, I think before you came, we talked about the gates of New Jerusalem and the way it's described in the Bible, the new city, right? And we also talked about the breastplate of the priesthood, breastplate of Aaron, that had the stones.
12 stones
in it. And just prior to me going to Cincinnati last month, I was working on the internet and my guides came through, my angels came through and said that I've been developing these essences for about 2 years, working with these stones and these jars of water, and they've been giving me information. And
So basically these are jars of water that have stones in them that are being charged with the essence of the mineral that's in them.
Right. And to my understanding, the energies of the frequencies that we've been moving through for the last couple of years have been working with these essences. And periodically they'll call to me and they'll say, you know, we want you to come talk to us and write about what we tell you. And so before I left for Cincinnati, these jars were going, it's almost time to bottle us. We need you to come up with a label. We need to write this little information booklet about us. So it started on that, but then the angels told me that I was to start when I came back from Cincinnati, I would get more information about developing some angelic frequency essences, and there were going to be 12 of them. Well, I didn't even relate it to the angels of the Merkabah or anything. It was just like, oh, whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. So last week as we were going through this, Fred says, oh, wouldn't it be fun to gather up some of those, you know, to get those stones that were in the breastplate of Aaron? And all of a sudden it was like, and then you were talking about the 12 gates and the angels, and it was like, oh, that's what that's about. Mm-hmm. So then the next morning, Bodhi and I talked, and I said, you know, I got some real strong information about some essences. And I said, I've already got some essences that have been working, I've been working with. And these are to work with groups. These have told me where to work with groups already. So he said, well, you know, put them in the middle of the circle and we'll work with them to bless them.
Can you see a jasper?
Yeah, it's a snowflake obsidian. Or a mahogany obsidian. And this calcite, the tourmaline in it over there, a woman heard from a friend of mine in Arkansas that I was developing this essence. This woman was from California. She was in Arkansas, and this friend of mine told her that I was being called to do these essences, and she was at a mine in Arkansas in a store, and that essence told her that it was supposed to come to me, and she drove all the way from Hot Springs, Arkansas with that stone one day, and then turned around, gave it to me, and turned around and drove back home.
See, now that is a really good example of communication. Okay. Somebody that received a message and did something totally absurd that you couldn't make sense to anybody about, but was and above and beyond the appropriateness of the stone, Barbara gets this energy of something moved this person all this distance to give this to me. And it wasn't me, because she could have been on the phone with a person in Arkansas trying to get them to do that for weeks, and it wouldn't happen.
And then the apophyllite, the green apophyllite, is from Pune, India. And Michael Lightweaver, when I first moved here, was having circles at his house with a lot of people. We were just doing some manifestation work. And Matthew Stanger was there, and somebody had gifted him with this apophyllite. Mm-hmm. And Matthew, this is totally out of Matthew's character to give anything away.
Yeah.
He was going to sell a stone to somebody, a beautiful stone, so it would have brought him a lot of money, you know, quite a bit of money at that time for him. And he said, afterwards, he looked at me, he said, I've got something in the car for you. And he brought it in. And I had been to several places, and I couldn't afford a green apophyllite, you know. And he said, this is for you. And he said, I want you to use it in your essences. So two of the stones, well, a lot of the stones were gifts, but those two specifically were, like, just after I started doing them, people brought them to me.
Okay.
All the crystals. All the clear quartz crystals were given to my friend in Arkansas.
He mined
them all.
And essences are something that work very well with people that are working at going within and in meditation, because they help set up a resonance that facilitates moving into to deeper levels. And
they help to hold the frequency as you really hold the frequency.
Right. We've been experiencing the oils that you guys work with, and they do the same thing. They hold a frequency that, once you learn how to use them, facilitates lifting, but it also facilitates actually holding the frequency in your aura for a longer period of time. And that's really the value of that, in my understanding. Okay. Any other questions about this particular level that we're working with?
Can you just do a meditation focusing on this particular one?
Hmm?
Say, you know, each day I try to do the, go through the whole chakras with the higher element of each one. But can you just take this one and focus on it?
And just work in the throat?
Mm-hmm.
You can, but it's an imbalance. See, what we do is we take the resonances that resonate to this level, listening, and see, this covers really the whole nose and ears and throat here, this whole area, right? Listening moves into opening this, and it really actually, for a large part, it has to do with an opening of the mind. These two go together, so the third eye also works with that, but it's a different faculty altogether. What we do is we then move those resonances through all the energy centers, because they affect all the energy centers.
So we're using that four quadrant and visualizing it in each center.
Yes, and affirming. We use those four affirmations up through all the centers.
And so on with each of the chakras?
Mm-hmm. Right. And then we come out through the top of the head, back into the spiritual heart, which you're working with a master gland there, the thymus gland. And then you're moving up into the center of the head, which is your pineal, which affects the pituitary and all the glands. So basically you're moving energetically, you're taking and releasing energy through all these levels so that you can come fully present energetically here in the center of the head and activate this so that the resonance literally chemically gets distributed throughout your entire being. Right? Whereas if you just focused in the throat, you'd end up creating an imbalance.
I'm just wondering sometimes if you have like a tendency for sore throats, or if you feel that your communications have been out of balance, if you could just utilize it to
absolutely
bring balance
absolutely
to bring balance back.
Yeah.
Without going through the whole system to do it.
Absolutely. Yeah. But it would not be something that you would want to do as your mainstay. But yeah, in the moment where you're feeling discomfort in any of these centers, there's only four words in each of the centers. And they're really easy to learn. I mean, it's not that hard. This is listening, speaking, communicating. I like to use communing rather than communicating, because communication is like an effort to reach that experience of communing and joyful. Right? And you can work with that in. You were here the night we got the four words, right?
For which?
Just specifically for you.
Mm-hmm.
Those four words. Okay. Those four words have a resonance that is really powerful just for you.
You talking about for the Oracle of the Heart words?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but it wasn't Oracle of the Heart specifically that night. There,
we threw the die
to get those four words.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember.
Okay, those words are probably, in general, the most healing four words you could possibly work with. They will relate very specifically to just about anything that you're going through. And if you want to work with something that's a very specific resonance for you, work with those four words.
This one is either eliminating or attracting, and then caring and eliminating.
Caring and letting go?
Illuminating.
That was peace, wasn't it?
Illuminating is one of the words.
Illuminating? Illuminating is not one of the words.
Something like that.
It would have been letting go, accepting, appreciating, grateful, joyful, peaceful, free.
Free, it was free.
Okay.
So there wasn't an eliminating at all?
No, but free, I mean, definitely has, there's an illuminating aspect.
Yeah, illuminating to freedom, to free.
So it was repelling, attracting, caring, and free.
Yeah, and illumination is truly a really good way to visualize freedom. Because the ultimate freedom, we tend to think of freedom as moving around and, you know, I can do anything I want to. And see, once you really get that kind of freedom, it's like, oh, no. This didn't really change very much here, you know. I'm in a whole different country, but I'm pretty much feeling the same here. And the people that I know aren't even here, and I need to rethink this. Freedom is about shining forth in your light.
Mm-hmm. Very illuminating.
Yeah.
I think that's really
so
pretty.
So that's a real appropriate image, but. Everybody here got those four words, right? You didn't get them? Okay. So we'll
get.
My words are very close to this week.
Yeah.
Two out of four.
Yeah. Well, if you work with those, I cannot overestimate.
Overemphasize.
I can't overemphasize. Thank you. See?
Emphasize.
See? Now. There's a little joy that comes forward in that, because that word was like nowhere in my mind, but I knew what I
was.
No joy going forward. So, I mean, it's like they knew what I was saying, trying to say, and I didn't even know. I can't overemphasize the importance of those four words.
Mm-hmm. Do you run those through all your chakras too?
You can, yeah.
Or do you just run them through the base?
I run them through all the chakras, and I also run them through the chakras. I most often use them with the chakras that they come from. And it's just like there's four words, four chakras, and I'm.
But caring came from the base, and freedom comes from the crown, right?
And caring comes from the heart.
Caring comes from the heart, okay.
Freedom comes from the crown.
Okay.
What was the first one?
Repelling.
Repelling comes from the heart. And what was the other one?
Repelling and attracting.
Caring and free.
You got repelling and attracting?
I did too that night.
So?
You got repelling, attracting, caring, and free?
I think so.
Well, then you got.
I got repairing. That's what. I mean, repelling, I thought the other one was illuminating or something like that.
No.
Because we're saying it's attracting.
Attracting.
And then caring and free was.
Well, then you, it seems I would have remembered that. That's three in the heart.
Repelling.
Yeah.
Repelling and attracting are both in the heart. So is caring.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's just unusual that your first three would all come from the heart.
Same thing with the rolling the same thing twice.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically, you know, there's a message there that is real powerful that you can look at is freedom is being in your heart. Psst. I mean, that's, I'm repelling, I'm attracting, I'm caring. That's all about being in your heart. But it connects it with that desire inside of you to be free. And there's this powerful message that comes through that says, you want to be free? Be in your heart.
What's wanting?
The base chakra.
So mine was repelling, attracting, wanting, and loving.
Right.
So is that three in the heart?
Yeah, but there's two different hearts involved. Repelling and attracting, repelling and attracting are human heart. Loving is spiritual heart. So that's that Christed light that we go into over the head, but it is also bringing that back down into the upper heart.
Well, you never know how many times just those four words have made such a difference since I got them. I mean, not even using them in a meditation at all, but in situations.
Yes.
Just thinking of them.
Thinking of them totally changes everything.
I'm like, oh my goodness. There's an aspect where we really, the people that we've given those words to, we've really done, in a sense, a disservice, because we haven't yet learned how to frame them in a way that's going to help people to appreciate them as much as these four words are